up.
Well, great. So the mitzvah of pidyon haben appears many times in the Torah. One of the times that it appears is in Parshas Kisisa, so it's a little bit in Yana Diyoma, called Bechor Banecha Tifteh, that you should redeem all of your firstborn sons, and speaks about other types of redemptions. Petuch Hamor is also, and Komik Nechat Yisachar, Bechor Behema Tahova, Bechor Behema Tameh, in the case of a Hamor. And we know the special mitzvah of Pidyon HaBein that applies to Jewish firstborn sons. So even though it appears many times in the Torah, maybe up to 9 times, it does not appear so much in real life. We don't have so many Pidyon HaBein opportunities. And one of the reasons for that is because Pidyon HaBein doesn't apply if either the father or the mother is a Kohen or a Bas Kohen or a Levi or a Bas Levi. And it doesn't apply if the child was born through cesarean section. It doesn't apply if there was a miscarriage that was at some significant point in the pregnancy that preceded the birth of this child. And it doesn't apply if the firstborn child is a daughter as opposed to a son. So there are many, many exceptions to the rule. It doesn't come up so often. I had the zechus, I'm a Kohen. So I had the zechus just about a month ago to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be the Kohen at the Pidyon HaBein for a great nephew, but it would take that many generations because my sister is a Bas Kohen, and therefore it was not a possibility in the next generation. It can only be a possibility for the grandchild generations, which the first grandchild was a grandson. So I was called to do the Pidyon HaBein. But it's a special event when it actually occurs. And I'm always very happy when I'm called upon to be a Kohen, not because of the money per se, but it's 5 shkolim. That's the amount that the Torah prescribes is 5 shkolim, which is the approximate value we assume of around 100 grams of silver, probably close to 96 grams of silver, but we try to make it 100 grams of silver. So if you use silver dollars that are from 1934 or earlier, so they all have a value of at least 20 grams of silver apiece. That's when the silver dollars were really made from silver. And if you use 5 of them, it adds up to more than 100 grams of silver. So that's a custom that some have, to give 5 silver dollars. Not because 5 silver dollars by themselves would do the trick. If you had 5 silver dollars that were minted more recently, it wouldn't count because it's not 100 grams of silver. 5 shkolim. If they add up to that, it doesn't even have to be money per se. It could be shavei kesef. So my nephew, and he gave me the equivalent of the chameshis shkolim. He gave me shavei kesef. He decided to buy me a silver bowl. So I didn't have it evaluated. I just said ahead of time, I said, whatever it is, to me it's worth at least 100 grams of silver. It's worth 5 shkolim. But he told me it was worth more than this. I believe him. But I made the statement just to cover my tracks. And it's also a mitzvah that presents shailos from time to time, not only in terms of what qualifies as 100 grams of silver and how do you make sure that it's properly given to the Kohen. Let's say a person wants to give the money to the Kohen as a matana manasa haksir. He's going to give it as a gift, but on condition that the Kohen return it. That was the sheet of Yaakov Emden. Of Yaakov Emden held that every Kohen should return the money because maybe he's not really a Kohen. And the Chassam Sofer didn't like that sheet. The Knesset Yecheskel didn't like that sheet. The Knesset Yecheskel is quoted by all the poskim as saying that the Kohanim nowadays, who have a chasaka being a Kohanim, are considered to be Kohani Badai. We're definitely considered to be Kohanim for all the things that we have a chasaka of being Kohanim, including Pidyon HaBein. So, of course, the Kohen doesn't have to return the money. So what if, though, there's a suffix, whether the Pidyon HaBein is required or not? Is the firstborn son not firstborn son? So generally we say it's a din of mominus, that it's a monetary obligation to give to the Kohen. If there's a question, maybe you don't have to give it. So then, generally speaking, we say it's not a question of suffix yisur l'chum, but suffix ramona l'kula, but suffix ramona l'kula. That the person who would otherwise be obligated would not be obligated in a suffix situation. We had two cases recently at the Beis Din, which raised an interesting shaila of, normally the mitzvah is that the pidyon haben is supposed to be done by the father. That's the way in which the mitzvah is phrased repeatedly in the Torah. As it says, v'kor b'chor banecha tiftet, that you have to redeem your sons. So it's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the father. But let's say that there's no halachic father. This can happen in a variety of different ways. It can happen that the father died before he had a chance to do the pidyon haben. Maybe he died before the son was born. The Maharil has a case where his father died in war. He was killed in war before the son was born. And the question was, what happens then? So the halacha is, as the Gemara says, that in such a case father can't do the pinyon because there is no father, so the son becomes chayav to do the pinyon. He does the pinyon when he becomes a bar mitzvah age. The son would do the pinyon. So the Maharil said he should wear like a gold plate around his neck. The boy should be given a gold plate around his neck that says Ben Cohen. Ben Cohen doesn't sound like the right the appellation. Ben Cohen sounds like he's a son of a Cohen, and he would be exempt from pinyon of Ben. But it meant was he's a Ben and belongs to the Cohen until he gets redeemed, so he belongs to the Cohen. That's what it meant. And others say, well, you should put on the plate maybe something a little bit more unambiguous, like Eino Padur, that this person has not been redeemed yet. And they would just wear this little necklace, a little plate around his neck, until the point that he would recognize that it was there, and he was bar mitzvah, and he would have to take care of the pidyon haben. But what if you have other situations where maybe there's no halakhic father altogether? Even this situation as well. Or what if there are others who are do-gooders? You have a grandfather who says, I'll step in and I'll take care of the pidyon haben. I'll give the money to the Kohen. You have for somebody else. We say, whenever there's a mitzvah that needs to be performed, and there's nobody else that steps to the plate, or puts a plate around the neck, then the Beis Din steps in to take care of the job. The Beis Din would step in to give the money to the Kohen. So is there an obligation for the Beis Din to step in? So we do have such an obligation that's derived from Psukim in the Gemara in Kiddushin when it comes to Bris Mila. The Gemara there says that we have a discussion based on the Mishnah, all the mitzvahs that are obligated for a father to take care of for his son, this is a mitzvah that men are obligated to, v'noshim p'tuas, but not mothers, only fathers. Tanina la'ad the tanim abanan, we have a supporting statement from the Tanaim, ha'av chayiv no lamulov liftosu v'lam the Torah, that a father is obligated with respect to his son to give him a bris milah and to redeem him, to do pidyon haben and to teach him Torah. So the Gemara then has a discussion about the contours of the mitzvah that the father has to give a bris milah and to redeem his son to do pidyon haben. Lamula minalan says, v'yom alavam ischitzchak beno. There is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that says the father has to redeem his it says, obviously, that with respect to redemption, if there is an explicit pasuk that the father has to redeem his son, but there's no explicit pasuk that says the father has to give a bris milah to his son. But we learn it from the fact, mainly we learn it from the fact that it says, v'yom alava miskitzchak b'no. V'heichad l'malei avua, and whenever the father did not give a bris milah to his son, mechayvi beidin l'memhalei, so then the Beis Din. So we actually have we derive from the pasuk an obligation upon the Beis Din to see to it that the child will be gemal, that the child will have a bris milah. Tiksov himolahem kol zachar, because it says himolahem kol zachar, this is a communal obligation, devolves upon the Beis Din. If Beis Din doesn't do it, so then we learn from another pasuk that the child himself is obligated to get himself a bris milah when he comes of age. And then the Gemara has a similar discussion with respect to pidyon haben liftosu minolan. Because it says, "Kol bechor banecha tiftet," the pasuk that we just read from Parshas Kisisa, that you're supposed to redeem your firstborn son. And if the father doesn't redeem his son, so then the son has to redeem himself. Because the pasuk of the Torah elsewhere says, "Padosifteh," double lashon of padosifteh, meaning that if the father doesn't do it, then the son is obligated to do it, and the mother, the Gemara derives, is off the hook. So it's interesting, what's missing from the discussion is we don't have a Gezeres HaKasuv that it's incumbent upon the Beis Din to do. Now, if it's not incumbent upon the Beis Din to take care of it, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is impossible for the Beis Din to do it. It could be that we just don't want to burden the Beis Din. If it's a bris milah, it doesn't cost me any money. It doesn't no skin off my flesh, skin off somebody else's flesh. But it doesn't cost me any money to take care of the bris milah from a Beis Din perspective. But if the Beis Din is going to take care of somebody else's pinyon a bein, so then the Beis Din has to pay money. The Beis Din is going to be out the 5 shkolim. So therefore, it could be that the Torah says we're not going to be mechayev the Beis Din mamon, but it doesn't mean that the Beis Din is completely excluded from being able to perform this mitzvah. So I mentioned the case of a father who dies before the son is even born, or there could be the father died before the son is 30 days old, in which case the father still didn't have the obligation. But there are a couple of other cases that we have right now in the Beis Din. So one case that we have is a case where there was no halakhic father because there was a Jewish woman who was married to a man who wasn't converted, who wasn't Jewish. So he's not, he's biologically the father, but halakhically he's not a Jewish father, he's a non-Jewish father. And then they had a child, and then they became more observant over time, and then the father converted to Judaism, and he had a few children at that point in time. But when he converted to Judaism, a very, very fine, upstanding, wonderful, wonderful convert, but then he came to me and said, okay, I want to perform all my mitzvahs as a Jew. I want to make sure that the firstborn son has a pinyon a bein. He's biologically his firstborn son, but not halakhically he's not considered to be a son because the father only converted to Judaism afterwards. So that's a case where it's a petzer rechem to the mother. The mother is Jewish. So the halakha explicitly is that in such a case, this is all discussed in Shulchan Aruch and Yeradeh Simen Shenhei, or the sugyas of Mishnayos and Gemaras and Maseches Bechoros, that such a child is certainly obligated to receive a pinyon habein. Even if the mother would have been a bas kohen, the child would be obligated to receive a pinyon habein. That's the case that's explicitly discussed in the Gemara and Bechoros and Daf Mem Zayin, because she would be nischala from her kahuna, because since she was with a non-Jewish man, so she wouldn't have the din of a kahenis anymore. If she's a bas levi, so bas levi is not nischala. She was with a non-Jewish man, she shouldn't have been, but there's no chilul of being a bas levi, so the child would still be exempt from pinyon habein. If she's a bas kohen, so then the child is not exempt. So it's pretty obvious from the sugya, the Shevet HaLevi discusses this, that if you're dealing with a case where she's not a bas levi and she's not a bas kohen, so of course the child, then it's not even a question mark, of course the child is chayiv. Somebody wanted to say, oh, you see, the Gemara didn't discuss bas Yisrael, only discussed bas kohen, bas levi. Bas Yisrael is not obligated. So of course, it's a kavah kohen, it's obvious that a bas Yisrael would be obligated to pick in a bein because it's petzer rechem, because the obligation is that if it's a firstborn son from a Jewish mother, so then the child is obligated to pinyon habein. But there's no halachic father in this case. So who does the pinyon habein? There's no obligation on the father. The father wants to take care of him, but he doesn't have a mitzvah. He's just a biological father. He's a father. He's not a halachic father. He doesn't have more of a mitzvah than anybody else. So really, I'm sorry? Some say that maybe in that case you have the maternal, but he doesn't have, but he also, Pashas is, there are those who wanted to say otherwise, but Pashas is, he doesn't have a greater obligation than anybody else. The Yoruch HaShulchan discusses this, because the Torah doesn't say grandfather, it doesn't say, V'hodatam l'v'necha v'v'nei v'necha liftos es b'no, it says, V'chokibokob v'necha tifteh. It only applies to the father. The other case is a very interesting case, which is actually a Mishnah. I was just talking to Rabbi Shechter Shlita about this case this past week, a week ago, when I was at Yeshiva in New York. So this is the Mishnah discusses a woman who's not Jewish and she's pregnant, and in the middle of her pregnancy she converts to Judaism and then she gives birth to the child. So this is our other case. The case that we had actually was a very nice non-Jewish couple that decided together we're going to convert to Judaism. But they were allowed to be with each other. It was a perfectly legitimate relationship. That's not a question. A non-Jew married to a Jew. Two non-Jews married to each other. They both converted at the same time, but she was pregnant already at the time that they converted. So she had a child in utero, and then after for several months after the conversion, the child was born. So this is what we call Harasa Shalom B'Kdusha V'Leidasa B'Kdusha, that the child was conceived without the mother being Jewish, but by the time the child was born, Leidasa was B'Kdusha, was when the mother was already Jewish, and therefore the child comes out essentially Jewish for these purposes. So the Mishnah says such a child also requires pinyon habein, but there's no halakhic father. It's funny because the biological father is also was there legitimately at the very beginning. When he was the biological father, he was the halakhic father in terms of being the halakhic, legitimate, non-Jewish father of the child. But now that he became Jewish, so when he became Jewish, the child converted in the mother's womb. So this So it's like the birth took place inside the mother's womb and not at the time of conception from the father's perspective. So he's not halakhically considered to be the father. So there too, they want to do a pidyon haben. So the question is, who does the pidyon haben in such a case? The father doesn't have an obligation. Is there an obligation upon the Beis Din? So the Rama.
Curious, is the mother halakhically the mother in that case?
The mother is halakhically the mother in that case. The Gemara says that if the mother would give birth to two twins that were inside of her womb, so they would be considered to be brothers with each other for purposes that of Eishes Ach, that they would both be prohibited from marrying their brother's wife. To say, of course, they can't marry their brother's wife because she's married to the brother. But even if the brother would pass away, they would not be allowed to marry the brother's wife. Right? So, assuming that it's not a yibum situation. So the Rama says in Simon Shinhei a remarkable statement which comes from the Rivash, and the question is whether the Rivash really said it. The Rivash was a 14th century Spanish authority of Isaac Varshesius. And the Rivash had a tshuva, a shaila that was presented to him about the nusach of the bracha that we make on pidyon haben. Is the nusach different when father makes does the pidyon haben as opposed to if the father hadn't done the pidyon haben and the son does it himself? So is the nusach any different? And there was some question as to whether. When the Rambam says that if you redeem your son, you say al pidyon haben, and that in fact is the bracha that we say. But if the person redeems himself, so he says liftos es habechor. That was the Rambam's opinion. And the question was, isn't the main person who's performing the mitzvah the father when he does the mitzvah, and the son is only secondary? So the father really should say liftos, which means that this is sort of the main way to fulfill the mitzvah, and the one who's secondary should say al pidyon haben. So the Rivash has a whole discussion about it. Lemaisa, we say al for both. Where if the father does the pidyon haben, so we say al pidyon haben. And if the boy himself, when he gets older, he does the pidyon haben himself, he makes the bracha, he says, he can't say al pidyon haben, because he's not his own son. I mean, you figure out that riddle. Sounds like a question in Gemara Yevamos. How is it that you're your own son? Can't happen. You can't be your own son. So he doesn't make the bracha of al pidyon haben, he makes the bracha of al pidyon habachor. He makes the bracha of al pidyon habachor. So that's the bottom line. So the whole question was based on a nusach. It's in the Rambam, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that we changed the nusach. But in the course of the question that was posed to Rivash, so the person said so we see that there might be a difference. The Iker mitzvah is on the father, that he said that, so that's the main way for the mitzvah to be performed. And based on Padot Tipteh, we learn that the boy, if he is not, has not been redeemed, he does his own pidyon haben, about ayyadei shliach, ayyadei bezin, leislan. But we don't have such a thing that it could be done through a shliach, and we don't have such a thing that it could be done through a Beis Din. And the Rivash gives an answer about the nusach of the brachos, and he doesn't pay attention really to this part of the shaila that said that it can't be done through a shliach and it can't be done through the Beis Din. So some say, you can say whatever you want. Somebody asks me a shaila, so I answer whatever is germane to be answered. But if somebody makes a mistake in their shaila, it's not my job to fix all of their mistakes. So this person may have made a mistake in the shaila. The Rivash didn't necessarily have an obligation to correct the mistake. You could say maybe if you're going to print the shaila together with the tshuva, maybe you should correct the mistakes in the shaila. Maybe that's the idea. But maybe it was a mistake and the Rivash just ignored it. Or maybe what the person who's the questioner meant is that we don't find that there's an obligation to appoint a shliach. We don't find that there's an obligation for Beis Din to intervene, like with the Bris Milah. The Gemara says, based on a pasuk that Himolachem calls Zachar, that there's an obligation for Beis Din to intervene if the father didn't take care of the Bris Milah. There's no obligation. It doesn't mean you can't be done. But that somehow is how the Rama understood the halacha. The Rama says, that the father can't use a shliach, can't be done. And similarly, if there's no father in the picture, so Bezdin cannot step in and do the pinyan. They can't step in and do the pinyan. So is that really the halacha? Is that really the halacha? So the Shach already said, that can't be. It can't be that's the halacha. So the Shach, in his comment to the Ramah on that sif, in Simon Shin Hey, this is source 4, he says, Zet tamua. We paskin that. How could you say that it can't be done through a shliach? And it's impossible. We have a general principle that shluko shaladim kemoso. He brings a ran that says beferush that you can appoint a shliach for purposes of pigyon aben. This whole shita is very, very difficult. The Aruch HaShulchan in his discussion in Simon Shinhei about all the different shitas, so he says maybe the idea is that unless I have a gzeiras hakasuv that explicitly includes a shliach, when the Torah imposes a mitzvah specifically upon a particular person, then I assume that that person has to do the mitzvah, and it can't be done by anybody else. Like when it says the isha hefirenu, that with respect to a Torah nedarim, the Torah says explicitly that it's the husband of a wife who has the ability to be mefir her neder, and it doesn't have anybody else as being in the category being able to be mefir, being mefir the neder. So he said, hold on, we'll get to that in a second. So the Aruch HaShulchan argues that maybe that's the idea here as well, where it says Isha Yekimenu v'Isha Yefeirenu, and Rabbi Yoshia, this is Sif Bab on page 5 of the Aruch HaShulchan, we paskin like Rabbi Yoshia that it can only be done through the husband below Ashliach, and it can't be done through the Shliach. So he says that maybe, just like there it says, Isha Yefeirenu, it must be the husband, and if there is no Riboy to appoint a Shliach, then you can't have a Shliach. See, here too it says, Kol b'chor banecha tifteh, that you must have, that the father must do it. It never says by Bris Mila, where we know that you potentially could have a Shliach. That's the pashtus, that you could have a Shliach with respect to at least the Ramah, right, in the Dalkei Moshe, of course you can have a shliach for Bris Mila. That pashtus is that's a possibility, because the fact that it never said that it must be the father. We have a pasuk that indicated by Yomel Avraham Eskiskak Beno that Avraham did it. So we say it's best that it be done through the father, but it never says it must be done through the father. There's no mitzvah that's directed that it must be dafka by the father. So he says so too with respect to a get. It says v'shocha mibeso, that when the Torah says v'kastav la sefer krisus, that has to be the husband that gives a get to his wife when there's a get, only because I have a gzeres akastav v'shocha mibeso do I know that you can have a shliach. If I didn't have a gzeres akastav, I wouldn't know. So he finds some sort of a justification for the sheet, that shita. But that's a very, very unusual shita to say that the shliach wouldn't work altogether. So the Shach pounces upon this, and he says that it can't be the case, and he quotes from a sefer Seder L'Derech. Seder L'Derech was written by Rav Yisachar Dov Eilenberg, who was a Talmud of the Levush. He lived from 1550 to 1623, so he was an early Achron, and he wrote a beautiful parish on Rashi and Al-Chumash, and he explains at great length why it is that we see through many, many proofs that you really can have a shliach perform a pidyon aben. And the same thing would really be true that you could have a Bezdin perform it. And he says that all the Rivash meant is that there is no obligation on Bezdin to take care of the Pidyon HaBein. However, it doesn't mean that they could not do it if they wanted to do it and be Mizake, this boy, that he should be Nifta, that he should have a Pidyon. So look at the next part of the bold print, Neshach, Novade, She'av, Yoch, Liptos, Ayyid, Shliach. If the father did not perform the pidyon habein himself, or he may sav konim shenifta, or even if he died before the pidyon habein, either way. So if the father died before the pidyon habein, it sounds like even if he died before day 30, or even if there would be no father in the picture altogether, there, like in the two examples that I gave, it would sound like the Shach is saying that it's certainly something which could be done by others. It's something, why a Bezdin? Why specifically a Bezdin? Because That's the job of the Beis Din. Our job is to jump in whenever there is a mitzvah that needs to be performed in the community, and to see to it that the mitzvah is performed properly. And he does quote from the Madoni HaMelech. Madoni HaMelech was the famous Yom Tov Lipman Heller, who wrote the Tosfos Yontov, and he wrote the Divrei Chamudos, he was of the opinion that the Beis Din, that you could normally have a shliach, but if in the event that there is no father who's available to appoint a shliach, or let's say that we're going to be mezakeh the father, that he's not doing it, and we'll do it on his behalf. So we say that zechiyah is mitam shlichos, so we could do it on his behalf. But if there is no father, because the father died, so then he says that as long as the child is still a katan, meaning the child himself does not have any chiyuv yet because he has not reached the age of bar mitzvah, so there's nobody really to be an effective mishaleach over here. There's nobody who really would be serving as the primary party that the shliach would be acting on behalf of, because there's no father in the picture who has a chiyuv, and the son's chiyuv hasn't yet kicked in. So he was of the opinion that, yeah, you can have a shliach, but not in the event that the father died. Now, the one who argues strenuously with the shach is the Taz. The Taz has a very long comment in Simon of Jinhei, and the Taz claims, based on a Tosfos in Ksuvos, on Adap Yud Aleph, that speaks about Ger Katan Mapilin Oso Adas Beis Din, that why is it that we're allowed to perform a Gerus on behalf of a Katan who hasn't yet reached Bar Mitzvah age? And Tosfos towards the very end says that normally you can't, when it comes to a Katan, it has to be something which is an absolute Suchus. It wouldn't be an absolute Suchus. So like, for example, I want to be Torim, I wanted to take some truma from the crops that belong to the katan, so I have to be worried that I'll take a little bit, and maybe the katan would have wanted me to take more. So maybe it's not an absolute sechus. But Geirus is an absolute sechus. You've got to be brought up to be a member of the Jewish people, be brought up and go to the right schools. They'll send you to, you'll grow up in West Rogers Park or Skokie, whatever. You'll have a nice Lincolnwood, wherever anybody's from, where you'll have a nice atmosphere and environment, and be brought up in a Torah and Chesed community. So what could be a bigger sechus? It has to be a sechus gomer. So he says here, by definition, it's not a sechus gomer, because maybe the child, if you really pressed him, and when he has das, he'll be able to say, hey, why did you do the pidyon habein on my behalf? My father, he had the mitzvah, that would have been fine. But when the father wasn't around, it's my mitzvah. Didn't you read the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Kof Tes? My mitzvah, not your mitzvah per se. And you just deprived me from being able to perform a mitzvah. And that wasn't very nice of you. So even though on some level it's a sechus, it might be like a little bit of a chok. So therefore, the Taz was not so excited about this idea. Question. Yes.
Go ahead.
That was my first comment.
What happens if the father is around, but he just doesn't want to do it? You then have to wait for the kid to become bar mitzvah?
It could be, or we could say that we'll be mezakeh the father. We'll be mezakeh the father in such a case. So because then we could say sechias mitam shlichos. So that's another possibility, right? Okay, but if he screams and yells that he doesn't want it done, so then it becomes much more difficult. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just curious if the mitzvah is that, and this is getting more of a risk term, is the mitzvah to actually do the pidyon, or is it for the child to be redeemed?
Sounds like, so this is what you're asking is this a mitzvah which is the perula, or is it a mitzvah which is the in the totsah?
Right.
And maybe it's the idea of the
totsah
is for him to be redeemed. So that's one possible argument against the Taz, that maybe it's just a tremendous sechus that he should be redeemed, because who knows what's going to happen in the future, and every single moment that passes, that he's not redeemed. So it's a losing out on the totsah. So that's one of the counter arguments against the Taz. Very, very good. So the Shach, in the Nekudos HaKesef, he came back with a vengeance. He wrote the Shach, and then he looked at what the Taz had to say, and then he came back with his Nekudos HaKesef. The Taz was born before many years before the Shach was born, and the Taz continued to live many years after the Shach died. But somehow the Shach got in. He got in his first punch, he got in his counter punch, he got in he managed to get in everything in a very short lifespan of 41 years. The Shach only lived about 41, 42 years, and it's unbelievable the legacy that he left behind. So the Shach in his Nekudos HaKesef, so he says that it's not true, first of all, You need it to be an absolute zechus. He brings a raya from the Gemara in Kiddushin regarding the din of Rav Gidol. This is the din of Rav Gidol is what? Rav Gidol HaMarav, who spoke about when the land of Israel was divided, so there were apotropsin, for the Ketanim, they had guardians that determined which lands would be set aside for those who were still Ketanim. And it says, they were appointed both to give them lands that they would like and sometimes lands that they wouldn't like. How do we know they had this power? Because it says, Nasi Echad, Matei Beis Avosam, that you're going to have one Nasi appointed for every single Shevet to give out to all the people of the Shevet, including the Ketanim. What does it mean, Lachov L'Zakos? So Rashi explains that sometimes it would be a situation that they would give something that would be good for the child, but they might have viewed it as the Gemara says, Lachov Amanas L'Zakos, that maybe it's a portion that was not, when the child gets older, say, wasn't my favorite portion, but the apotropsin would determine that this is good, this is the best portion for this particular person. Nobody's going to be completely happy when you're the one who's in charge of divvying out of the land or funds or anything of that sort. So people are always going to complain. Anybody who's been like the president of a shul can tell you this. Say, oh, you're the gabbai, you got to figure out who's supposed to get the aliyahs, the kibbutim. So whenever you're the one who has to divvy things up, sometimes it's lachov amenas zakos. So the person thinks that it's so terrible that they're getting chamishi, but if they wouldn't get chamishi, they wouldn't get anything, but they're still going to hate you anyway. But it's okay, that's your job. So it says the Gemara that we learn from Xeris Akasiv that this could be done for Ketanim, even though it might be a little bit of a chobah. So the Shach says, so we see, even if it's not 100% perfect. Plus he says that from the Gemara in the Darim Daf Lamed Vav, it appears that the idea that somebody is going to find it to be not a complete zechus because they don't get to do the mitzvah themselves and somebody's doing it for them in the context of, in that case, of being Torim Truma, he says that the Gemara rejected the idea that that's going to make it less of a zechus as long as the mitzvah gets it done. And thirdly, in this particular case, it's not even a situation where the zechus is being taken away from the child at all, because says the Shach, the way in which it would be done, and this is very important because this plays out in terms of Lamaisa, how we actually perform the Pidyon HaBein when it's done, Ayyidei Bezdin, the way that it plays out, says the Shach, is not that somebody else gives of their own money to the Kohen, but no, if the father is not around, the way that it works when Beis Din does it is that Beis Din is mezakeh the money for the child, and then it's considered as if the child is giving of his own money to the Kohen. So therefore he's getting 100% of the mitzvah. It's not somebody else is like taking from his own crops to give truma on behalf of another person, which is the question that's asked in the Darim, whether that's considered to be a zechus or not. You say it's not a perfect zechus, but it's good enough when you're dealing with an adult and with a katan. Okay, the Taz says it's a higher standard. The Shach says, we're not even talking about that universe. We're talking about where it ends up being the Katan's property. And then you have sort of a sidebar discussion of some of the poskim. Well, do you really have the ability to be mezakeh to a Katan, the property to a Katan? And we generally assume with Das Acheres Machne, you do have the ability to do so. So the Shach really covers his tracks. But it's not only the Shach who says this and goes against the Taz question.
The money becomes the seder of the pigment. The cotton doesn't have the ability to make kinyan and to decode it himself. So how does that then happen? I mean, if Bezin is doing it for him, it's a
zechiyah
for him.
Yeah, so that's one of the problems that the Taz would have with this approach is to say, is that really true that it goes, that it can really go into the cotton's domain altogether when he doesn't have the ability to be mezakeh the money? But we could say there's a Tosfos in a Sanhedrin that talks about how a katan can really acquire something through Das Acheres Machne. Somebody else confers it to the katan, right?
How does he
Then we just say that it works because it's an absolute sukkus. It's a sukkus on his behalf that the money should make its way to the coin. So I can take it, even though he doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach, but when it's an absolute sukkus, so he could say that somehow sukkiah is lab mitam shlichus, and that if it's a sukkus gomer, that's what the Tosfos Simsuva says, that you can have a sukkus gomer performed on behalf of a katan, and that's how geirus works, how the bezdin can stand in for the katan in order to confer the requisite das, the requisite intent for the geirus to be valid, even though the katan is not doing his own Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, so we say that this Al Das Bezdin, because it's an absolute sukkus. So that's the whole Marepas that the Shach comes out with. It's really not bad. And in fact, a number of subsequent authorities were very comfortable with the Shach. But before we get to that, there's another approach. There's another approach that also disagrees with the Taz. Yes?
If he has Yerusha, it can use the Yerusha that's coming to him, and then it would be his own zchut.
Yes, if it's his own money, then but then you could say it's a little bit more difficult to take somebody else's money. So the Taz says, actually taking somebody else's money, that would be like I go on somebody else's property to take from their crops to be mafish their own truma, which for sure he says is no good. So he says it's like then it has the Shach's argument ends up being sort of faulty because what he says is better is actually worse. So it works better when the money isn't already there. You're just kind of giving the money to the katan and simultaneously transferring it over to the kohen. Yes.
Why not wait until he's a
god? So the reason is that it's a big sukkus for him to be nifta, Dr. Shapiro pointed out that you get the extent that there's the mitzvahs the totzah. That he should be redeemed, so this way he's already redeemed at an early appointed time, so that's a sukkus for him to be redeemed. You could say that really the mitzvah already set in. And the Ksam Sofer has some tshuvas about this, and the Ksam Sofer seems to assume that maybe the mitzvah doesn't really, you can argue at least, that the mitzvah doesn't set in for the katan until he becomes a god. But you could say, no, the mitzvah really sets in, it's just that he is prevented from being able to perform it because he's not a bar mitzvah yet. But really, it would be a zechus if somehow the mitzvah, he would still get credit if somebody else would step in and perform the mitzvah on his behalf, so he still gets credit at that point in time, so you still are doing him a favor. That would be the argument. The Vilna Gaon says that what's really going on over here, Pinyan Abayin, the whole mitzvah, what did we say earlier? We said that it's really a mitzvah that's a mitzvah in mamonos. So that's why we say that whenever there's a suffix as to some whether somebody's chayvin Pinyan Abayin, we say suffix mamon lekula, and the person doesn't have to perform Pinyan Abayin altogether. So he says, if that's the nature of this mitzvah, so you know what effectively that means? It means the nature of this mitzvah is that it's a priyas chov. It's a priyas chov. When it comes to Priyas Chov, there's no problem with one person. They don't have to be a shliach. One person can step in and they can pay a chov on my behalf. You have student loans. Somebody pays in your behalf. You're going to say, sorry, I didn't point you as a shliach. That doesn't work. Take your money back. You're not going to say that. It works. It's okay. The institution that's owed the money gets the money. They don't really care whether the person was appointed as a shliach or not. They're going to take the money and the debt is canceled. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. He says, "Kol zehu tamui." He says, I don't understand the whole discussion. In my mind, you don't have to get to the question of, it's not a question of, do you have the ability to appoint a shliach, not have the ability to appoint a shliach, does Bezdin have any kind of a standing here? He says, the whole thing is, it doesn't make any sense. So, let me buy you the shliach, the shulka shodom kemoso. He says, forget about the fact that, of course, the father could appoint a shliach, and of course, you could have a shliach, and let the af akir yachaliptos, but even if there's no father in the picture, that's pashtus what the Gra is talking about, because the immediately preceding Gra says, Ayen Shach sit cutting it out. He says, look in the Shach, which means that he basically is approving of the Shach, who says that you can have somebody else stand in even when there is no father in the picture. Even without the father, or if there is no father, the way that I'm explaining, the simpler understanding of the Gra, because we find that with respect to Maiser Sheni, or Netzer Revayu, Hektesh, a person could have Maiser Sheni that needs to be redeemed, or Netzer Revayu, Hektesh, and somebody else is allowed to step in. The Kohen is allowed to collect from the person's property in order to do Pidyon Abayin. The father didn't do it. The Kohen Yerushalayim can go down and take the father's property in order to collect the pinyan of bein money. It's a chov. Like it says in the Gemara Bibachoras. He just says like this at the very end in the bold lines. The girl was nice enough to, no, I bolded it. Just says, it's more of a mitzvah for the father to do it. You're going to bring a riot from the Rivash that you can't have a bezdin, you can't have a shliach. Come on. That's just the one who asked the question, who threw that in. You can't blame the Rivash for that. And even if the Rivash would have accepted it, then it's still clearly something that doesn't have a strong argument behind it. So the so this is very interesting because the Shach also reiterates his comment a little bit later on in Simon Shinhei. The Rama brings, not surprisingly, he brings the Maharil's opinion. It says, the father didn't do the opinion, the son has to do when he gets older. This actually made into the Shulchan Aruch that you write this a little, you have this little silver plate, which is hung around the neck of this boy, that he's not padui. So the Shach says, are you kidding me? Do you ever like give anything to a young boy? Like just give him gloves to take to school. It's not going to like last that long. He'll get my earmuffs. My goodness. I mean, my kids can't keep anything. He says, I don't understand this. He says, if you take a look at what I wrote earlier, ain't sarkatasha kesef. First of all, you don't need it because somebody else can come along and do the redemption. You can have Bezdin do the redemption, says the Shach. The gam the problem with Tasha Kester by the Ibud. Also, this is not going to stay on his neck forever. He'll take a shower. He'll go to sleep. He'll forget it in school. He'll go playing with soccer and he'll fall off. I mean, it's not that. That's not going to work. Alkein tov yoseliv doso abezdin kishu katan. So therefore, what are we really worried about here? We're also worried about the tzakalov. We're worried about tzotzah. So we're worried about a tzakalov that maybe it's never going to happen. The person's just going to forget to do pinyan aven. There are people who come to me, they're 50 years old, they realize that they never did a pinyan aven. Their parents went for them, they didn't know about it. I've had people come to my office just to do a pinyan tshuva, realize that their parents probably did not do a pinyan aven, they need to do a pinyan aven, and it just gets forgotten over time, it gets neglected. If it's not done b'shaito on the 31st day, it's not something which is high up there in people's consciousness. So therefore he says that you should really take care of it as soon as possible. So this is something which is discussed at great length by the later Achronim. What do you do? We have this Machlokes, Taz and Shach. There's also the question of making brachos, so when the pinyan aven is going to be performed, are you going to, should you do it misafek before the child is bar mitzvah ayyadei bezin and then do it again afterwards? That was the suggestion that was made by both the Kassam Sofer and the Chemda Shlomo. The Chemda Shlomo has this idea. If you look at page 4, about 4 lines down, she was Chemda Shlomo Simon Lamed Beis. He says that he thinks that it would be ideal that the way it should be done is actually the Chemda Shlomo solution is much further down on the page. You'll look about, I don't know, 20 lines down. The first two words are Chemda Shlomo. Sherry Gamkem is amazing. The Kashim Mo Liptos Bekanus says it's very difficult to come to a conclusion here to say that we're going to rely upon doing upon the Shach exclusively. But he said that given the Shach's concern that it's going to be forgotten because the necklace is going to get lost, and then the pinyan aven will never be done. So this is my idea. Now, I wanted to read from the Hamadrich. I forgot to bring it, but the new Hamadrich of the RCA. I thought it's only the new Hamadrich, but I was mistaken. It's also the old Hamadrich. The old Hamadrich and the new Hamadrich of the RCA is the only place I was able to find a nusach of opinion of Dib HaBein Ayyadei Bezdin. And the reason that most of the Sfarim, including Pidyon HaBein Kel Chasu and Otsa Pidyon HaBein, they don't have a nusach of opinion of Bain. They have a nusach of opinion of Bain if it's done by the father. They have a nusach if it's done by the son. Someplace, some of them even have a nusach if it's done ayyadei shliach, because even the Taz agrees it could be done ayyadei shliach when he disagrees with that line of the Ramah if the father is still alive. But they don't have ayyadei bezin, and the reason they don't have ayyadei bezin is because they're not sure whether to pass like the Shach or the Taz. The Shach had many that followed his opinion, and the Taz had many who followed his opinion. You line them up on different sides, the Maharils with the Taz, and the Maharals with the Shach, and this one, they're all, and the Sos, is very much with the Taz, which is kind of interesting as well. But that makes sense because the Madanei HaMelech was with the Taz. Madanei HaMelech was an ancestor. I'm not saying that it was nepotism over here, but it's interesting. He was an ancestor. The Madanei HaMelech was a Heller, Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller. But it was Yom Tov Lipman Halevi Heller, and the Tzos was a Heller, Rav Aryeh HaKohen Heller, and he refers to the Tzos Yom Tov as an ancestor of his. So somehow the Heller name made its way down, but the Levi became a Kohen. So I'm guessing that at some point in time there was like a maternal, you know, connection where they just kept the name Heller, or maybe there were multiple Hellers. But he also, the Tzos has the different ways of slugging up the Rias of the Shach. He says, don't bring me a riot from Apotropos. Apotropos, the land was already basically in their hands, and what the Apotropsim did was just a gilui milso bi'alma, just showing what land belonged to whom, but the land had basically already been decided for them. So he has different ways of slugging up the Shach's kasha. So it's not entirely clear which way you should end up. So he says, the Zos Nira, yes.
Isn't there a concept to not put off a mitzvah? What if he never lives to be?
Yes,
yeah,
so all of this is true. All of this is true. So, well, if you hold that the mitzvah for him doesn't set in until he's 13, then it would be less of a problem. But lezos nira lahamsi takana latzeis koladeos tahayna litlos tas litos shlo nifte. He says, you do that as well. Maybe you'll lose the tas, maybe you won't, but you do the pidyon habein right now. Lizkos la koin amos. You give the money to the Kohen. Al Tanai, you do it on condition. Shim kashiyagdil abein lo yodeh lo shu b'chor v'liyifte atzmo. If the son won't realize he's a b'chor because he's going to lose his silver plate, and then he's not going to do the pidyon, so then you amos atel shei pidyon. So then the money will be intended for pidyon purposes. Shim yodeh lo shu b'chor. And if he does realize he's a b'chor, and then he does his own pidyon, yem mechuyav liptos atzmo v'mos atel yu l'shei matana. So then he'll do his own pidyon, and then the money that was given over now will be intended as a matana bi'alma. So that's a sort of the solution that he has in order to cover your bases. And in the Hamadrich of the RCA, they quote this Chem de Shlomo, and they say, if you're going to do a pinyon ayadei bezdin, because the father is not around, because the father was not Jewish, case of the Mu'beres Gaira that I mentioned, the woman converted when she was pregnant with this child, so they say, follow this approach of the Chem de Shlomo. Now, the only problem with that is, if you follow the approach of the Chem de Shlomo, it's because you hold it's a suffix. So you're covering your tracks. If you hold this as suffix, do you make a bracha? You obviously don't make a bracha, but they have brachos in there. So you got to pick one way or the other. Either say you're going with a shach all the way, in which case you make the brachos, but don't refer to the chem de shlomo, or you do the chem like the chem de shlomo, but then don't make brachos. So that's just sort of a kasha that I have on the nusach, and you know I leave that for further consideration. But they do have the brachos. And what's interesting is they have the bracha of al pinyon habein. It really should be al pinyon habechor. I pointed that out to Rabbi Matenki this morning. In the original version, they did have al pinyon habechor, and then in this version, somehow al pinyon habein crept in. The only reason I'm looking at it is because I have to use this nusach in these two cases that I have coming in front of me. That is, assuming that we're going to follow the shach and we're going to make the bracha. So how do we, in fact, paskin? So the Aruch HaShulchan says in Sif Yud Dalet, all the way on page 6, he says that if you take a look at all of the different poskim, he says that, in fact, it seems that the practice has become that we do follow the opinion of the shach. And take a look at the last part of the bold points. I urge you to read all of it. It's interesting, but we don't have time for all of it because it's already 47 minutes after the hour. Don't say like the Taz. That's not a good svara because the adaraba. The opposite is true, as you've all been saying. So baruch hashekivantem to what the Aruch HaShulchan is about to say. Of course it's an absolute zchus. It's not like he would say, I would rather wait till I'm 13 and do it myself. No, I'd rather that my greatest bar mitzvah present is you tell me, don't worry, you're already padui. That's a great bar mitzvah present. Vade nichalei shetukuyam a mitzvah ki kara biben lamed yom. That Torah kishitzitzah dimin lopada avi shechai palitos asu kishiyagi lopadra gubis emi pinyam migil usman chiyumo. It's not that they said that he's going to be putter until he becomes bar mitzvah. Just that I can't force anybody to do it, and the Torah didn't require Bezdin to do it. Give him a meal in the same way that the Torah required Bezdin to do it, but to take care of bris meal for someone. Mishum sheyesh kan hefsin mamon, mamon, because the Bezdin would otherwise lose the money. But it doesn't mean that there's no chiyav up until this point in time. And he says, look at the very last line. He says, pasuk v'pshitus k'ashach, the grow also pasuk like the shach, if not for exactly the same reason. V'chein nere ikla v'inus daiti, v'chum induma shekeda mered. He thinks this is the minig. So I asked, so shechter, shlita, and Meshechter told me, yes, yes, this is absolutely the minig. We follow what it says in the Aruch HaShulchan. Marcel Abeyshik said, this is what they did in Europe. In Europe, they probably had cases like this. The father wasn't around. You can imagine wars and so forth. The Bezdin would take care of it before the child would be bar mitzvah. They would do it themselves. They make the bracha and everything. In fact, he even published this in the Nefesh HaRab, source 14. B'yoredeh huba machlokas sachmon mechlasos v'meisa avim. The Bezdin yiftu us tebuchol shemtin lalat sheigdal misatzmo. V'rabbeinu amar sheham minag belita hayakadas ha-shach v'egwa. The minag in Lithuania was like the shach and the gro. Shama she'af acheyam yechorim liftos v'ken kosta v'aruch ha-shokam. And like it says in the Aruch ha-shokam. So Moshe Feinstein, the tshuva, Chelak Av Simen Kutzari, hey, that's a 12, source 12, which is, we're now in the 70th anniversary of this tshuva. Okay, so a big happy birthday to the tshuva. Chofei Adar Arishon Tavshin Yudalet. So Moshe spoke about this case of Pidyon Ben Yisraelis, Shiyolda Minachri, what should you do? So he says that fundamentally, the Rav in question decided that it would be appropriate, even though nobody is obligated to step in, but you're afraid that if nobody does it, it's going to get forgotten and it won't be done. So therefore, it is appropriate to take care of right now. Mikomakom, look at the end of the first paragraph. Yesh Lahovah Shiyifte Gambit Bracha. The Lo Yitzarek with those Asur Kishiyigdo Kedas Hashach, and we don't have to do it tonight, like the Chemda Shlomo, that we're going to do it twice. No, do it once. Mishum de Gros over Oyo said they ain't Sarek said Gamdin Shlichos to Zechia. The Gros said I don't even need Shlichos, I don't need Zechia. It's just paying somebody's chov. The Gamlo Daito Shlav Klal Kemoshiyachol Akli for a chov Shalova, just that somebody can pay somebody else's chov. So therefore, it's perfectly fine. And therefore, he says it wouldn't be necessary to be mizakin the money for the katan, because it's not, you pay somebody else's debt, it doesn't have to come from them, and we don't have to say, oh, it's a zuchus because it's coming from their own money, like the shach had that whole svara. But he said that it's better to do like this approach, even to satisfy the sheet of the shach that it's coming from the katan, to be mizakin the moment for the katan, but do it in a way, he says, about Yechorin, even though according to the Taz, you're going to have a question as to whether you could really do Zechiyah, and then maybe it doesn't belong to the Katan at all. So he says, do it in a way, they're just doing it in a way in which you're only being mezakeh for the Katan for purposes of the Pinyon. So it's not like I have to worry about whether it's going fully into the Katan's possession. It's only there for the purpose of the Pinyon. So he says that would work according to the Vilna Gaon as well, that you're still only there for purposes of paying the debt. And therefore, he says, you can say like this. If the halacha is like the Vilna Gaon, then I don't have to give it to you at all. So then, it's going straight to the Kohen. And if the halacha is like the Shach, that you need some sort of a Zechiah, and the greatest Zechus is if the Katan does it himself, so then I'm giving it to the Katan, but only for purposes that it be used for Pidyon. So yes, this is a very creative solution as how you can do it. What about Shechiyano? So he says, it's a Machlokes Achronim, whether the person who's doing it, who doesn't have the mitzvah, can make the Shechiyano. Maybe the only one who says the Shechiyano is the one who actually has the mitzvah. If I'm performing the mitzvah is getting done, I could say, I'll pidyon HaBechor, because there is a pinyon that's taking place, but maybe Shechianu is only that I'm happy that I'm performing a mitzvah that I was commanded to perform, and this I wasn't commanded to perform. So he says, so even the Chassam Sofer had this idea when it's done through a shliach that you should take a pre-chodesh, take a new fruit. So he says, in order to make the Shechianu, have a new fruit on the table, or wear a new suit, or something like that. And I was just giving this aid, so somebody asked me, it was a newlywed woman, who was lighting candles for the very first time, and she wanted to know whether to make a Shechianu. So we worked it out, that since it's a machlokis, whether you make a Shechianu and lighting candles for the first time, she would have in mind her new sheitel that she's putting on just for that Shabbos, for Shabbos of her marriage. So it's the same idea over here. You set aside a pre-chadosh, a shevet alevi, but ben of Shmuel Bozner says the same thing in this situation where basically he had an artificial insemination case. So he's in this artificial insemination case. Take a look. He says that the last bolded line, Amna mi'ikar hadin, yadua the sugya sashas ba'alaka be'evan ha'ezid, the blood kosher, the blood of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman is considered to be kosher, and therefore is considered to be a Jew, and you do require a pidyon, you do require pidyon abein, as is indicated in the Gemara. And he says, look back up to the previous bolded line, and he says, and I've already explained the Mizman Hazeh, Sha'olam Hefker. He says, I'm going to go further than the concern of the Shach, that the child is going to lose his silver plate. The entire world has lost their bearings, and we therefore live in a world of Hefker. And in the world of Hefker, you have to worry that nobody's going to remember from one day to the next to do a mitzvah. Because nowadays people have an attention span of a half of a second, and therefore they're not going to remember to do pidyon habein when the boy gets older. Do it right away. And as far as the bracha is as well, he says, there's no question that you will make the bracha. Now, there are some poskim.
What happens in a situation where a child grew up in a non-observant home, and then, he then, whatever, wakes up, and he's from, and he doesn't know, and there's no one to ask, he doesn't know if the pidyon habein was performed. It might
he does. So it depends. Sometimes it's such a strong chazaka that it's not even like a question. Sometimes it's so clear that the parents were so far removed from any kind of knowledge or practice of Yiddishkeit that you can pretty much assume that it wasn't before. It's a good question. If I recall correctly, one case I had, so the boy just was a little bit unsure. He couldn't say 100% the parents did. So I said, we'll do a pidyon habein without a bracha. But he was like virtually certain. So I think most of the time when you do it, you can make a bracha as well. There is a contradiction in Rav Moshe Feinstein, I will admit. He said this is the 70th anniversary of that tshuva, very beautiful thing. And he says as well, just to complete the cycle, the end of that tshuva says, in Nusach HaBracha Toshima Alpinyon HaBechor, not Alpinyon HaBein, so I have an explicit source disagreeing with the Nusach in the latest HaMadrich, so it should be Alpinyon HaBechor when it's made by anybody other than the father. But I think that's pretty clear. Again, the HaMadrich is a beautiful, wonderful sefer. They did a fantastic job. The only reason I'm talking about HaMadrich is so I have such a chorus of Tov that they have a Nusach altogether of Pinyon HaBein Al-Yidei Bezdin, and I just want to make that clear. It's a great sefer in every way. Now, there is a bit of a contradiction in the Igros Moshe that he wrote not 70 years ago, but 74 years ago. 74 years ago, he dealt with a Mumbarish in his Gaira, but he wasn't in a good mood about it. So the Mumbarish in his Gaira, he pointed out, as he did in a later tshuva, that he has various mikolos in which he was able to substantiate the shita of the Ma'adonei HaMelech, of those who say that, who's also the Divrei Chamudos, same person, Ma'adonei HaMelech, Divrei Chamudos on the Rosh, and the Tosfos, the Yontev, all the same person, but he was able to show how really it might not work if the father's not around to have somebody else stand in for the father. So therefore he said, follow the Ksam Sof and the Chem the Shlomo to do a double type of Pidyon HaBein observance, a one time through the Bezdin when the child's below Bar Mitzvah and one time afterwards, and he doesn't side with the Shach and say, oh, only do it once and make the brachos and rely upon that shita unequivocally the way he does in the later tshuva. So the simple reading would be that there is a change of mind, a change of heart that he had between when he wrote this tshuva and when he wrote the later tshuva. One way that I can demonstrate that is because in the later tshuva he also makes reference to what he wrote in the Dibros Moshe, in which he substantiated that shita that the Shach rejects. But he says, despite the fact that I wrote in my Dibros Moshe how really you can substantiate and validate that shita, nonetheless, it is more appropriate and more correct practice that you should follow the shita of the Shach 100% unequivocally, because this is really the minhag that has developed and it's consistent with the Vilna Gaon. But he also is in a bad mood because that was not a case like I had. Oh, thank you very much. That was not a case like I had of, thank you so much, it's not a case like I had of the two spouses converting together. That was a case where the woman converted while she was pregnant, and at the time of her pregnancy, that's when she's married to a Jewish man, and that's when she was converted. And you kind of have to wonder what restrictions were placed upon her by the Beis Din as she was going through the conversion process with this Jewish paramour. So says Rav Moshe that I really am not so looking. Rafim Neimar Kidivrayim, Shetol Devakish Eitzos, Avshenim Aliba Dekuliyam, Komokom Urak Beben Yisrael Vadayol, Giyoris Azoshim Estamik Yerob Giyoris Shiradina Zu. This woman is probably like most of the Giyoris around in 1950 in America. Shirach Mepianamo Shekibla Mitzvos. They're just giving lip service about accepting mitzvahs. And a Sharon mitzvahs who like all mitzvahs don't give. It's possible they haven't kept a single thing. Kimosh Sharon should take him Bachar L'Shavas and Shavas is so neither. They're not keeping Shavas. They're not keeping neither. They're not keeping anything. Gamalena Yehudimo is in a Rabbi Mufkar Lava Kumitzvah Satoria. Their husbands aren't keeping anything. So therefore, the female is like, you have to notice she ain't in the Yeris Club. It's probably not in the Yeris at all. So you kind of have to understand the context of this particular tshuva. The other one, it was more of a situation where there's no question, even though the woman had done something wrong, that she had been with a non-Jewish man, but the woman was unquestionably Jewish herself, so therefore I think it was like a little bit of a different context. Otherwise, I don't see a svara to distinguish between the case of Muberes Shenizkaira and the case of a child of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man for these purposes.
If the mother is no good, then the child is also not.
Well, if the mother was not Jewish, so then the halacha is that if the woman is not Jewish at all and she gives birth to a non-Jewish child, he's not obligated to pidyon habayim, even if he converts afterwards, because a convert is not obligated to pidyon habayim. Muberes Shenizkaira, if he's born Jewish because he converted in utero, so then he would be obligated to pidyon habayim. It's Tzitz Eliezer, interestingly enough, in a tshuva that he wrote to Rav Gedalia Felder, wrote that he felt that one should be machmir, like all the shitos that say that you have to be worried, that maybe the halakha really is like the Taz and not like the Shach. But interestingly enough, besides establishing that the practice, according to Rav Shechter, as he quoted in the name of Rav Soloveitchik in the Aruch HaShulchan, is that we, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, is that we do assume that we follow the Shach, even the Kula, to make brachos and not to have to repeat the Pidyon HaBein afterwards. Even in the Sephardic community, I found the same thing. I'll just end with this. That's source 18, which is Rav Sholom Mashash, who we know is the Sephardic chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for many, many years, a mentor of Rav Avadya Yosef. And he wrote in an article in Tzachumen Klachtes of a woman who gave birth to a Jewish woman who gave birth to her first born son from a non-Jewish man. So the question is, should the Beis Din do the pidyon? And he says, Nira d'linyan halacha v'adei avdinen k'divrei yashach. Even he says that you should follow the shakim shemasim lachvodim gedolei yador she'asu ma'isirab liftos ayidei Beis Din, including from the Maharal Mifrag and many, many others. And he said that ma'isirab, he himself who lived in the Beis Din world, grew up in that world from when he was a very, very young boy, he saw that many, many Bati didn't follow this approach. So therefore, this is the approach that we fundamentally follow. And finally, I have the Madrich over here. If you want to look it up, it is on page 77. And you can see my little cross out over here. And the cross out just says on the side, Ayin Igros Moshe Yoredea Felek Al Simen Kuf Tzadi Hei. I changed the Nusuf of the Bracha to Al Pidyon HaBekor. But the other thing that I would change is that we don't need to have the stipulation of the Tanai from the Chem de Shlomo, but it is a very good Marim Malkum anyway, because why not Tein the Chokam V'yakimot? It's all Lahagdil Torah L'Adira. So we'll end here.
Remember, what if a non-Jewish woman has a child, then she converts and has a child? That's the first child as a Jew.